You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS, Murray State's NPR station. We're online at WKMS.org. We're going to be broadcasting live Friday night from the Lowertown Arts and Music Festival in Paducah. Going to have some great bands on, Blue Mother Tupelo, the Duke of Uke, and the headliner Friday evening will be the Dirt Daubers with J.D. Wilkes. I am pleased to have on the phone now Mr. J.D. Wilkes, lead man of the legendary Shack Shakers and the Dirt Daubers, a multimedia artist and a man about town in Paducah. Thank you so much for being on Sounds Good this afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
So, you've got a lot of projects in the works. So let's just start off by trying to chronicle just how busy that you've been staying lately, J.D. You've got a new CD coming up for the Dirt Daubers. You're writing a book on Kentucky barn dances. You've got a vinyl record of banjo tunes coming out called Kitchen Tapes. And you've also just finished Grim Hymns Volume 2. It's the second chapter of that comic series. Does that about cover it?
That's it for now. There's some other things that I don't want to talk about yet because I don't want to jinx it. But we got some pretty big stuff lined up. But I can't even think about it right now.
Well, let's start with the new Dirt Daubers CD. What's that sounding like? What's your end date for the recording session?
Well, just like Bob Dylan went electric, the Dirt Daubers have gone electric, and it might turn off some fans, but hopefully we'll be gathering even more fans in the process of going electric. We're delving into kind of more of the R&B and blues genres, swampy kind of Slim Harpo stuff. Jessica, my wife, she's been writing in the vein of like kind of Little Richard and, kind of the classic rock and roll Chuck Berry style stuff. So it's almost like early Shack Shakers before that turned into like the punk rock monstrosity that it became. But it's very very kind of a cool, laid back kind of a bluesy stuff. I'm playing a lot more harmonica now, getting back into that, stressing less the banjo, mandolin. You know, in fact, we've all but eliminated that old time sound from the Dirt Daubers brand. And that's why I put out my banjo record separately now, so it has a place to go. I'm kind of channeling that part of me into its own world so that we can fully engage in this new Dirt Daubers sound.
Well, in light of this changing sound of the band, let me ask, are you going to be a trio or a quartet Friday night, and what's the instrumentation going to be at the Lowertown Arts and Music Fest?
It's a quartet. Really, it's musically more like a three-piece, but I'm fronting the band with harmonica. So it's guitar, upright bass, and drums. And I play blues harp and sing my originals. And then when Jessica gets up to sing hers, I go over the upright bass. And so I'm able to kind of indulge in that and nerd out on the upright bass. It's a kind of like a musical chairs thing. It's almost a variety show because you get her songs, her style of writing, and then you get my stuff, which it's I guess it would be the majority of it, but it's about 50-50. It's getting more. She's getting more confident on stage and writing more, and she's got some really great tunes we're going to showcase. Actually, it'll be the first time we've played them out in front of an audience, so hopefully it'll go great.
Well, I know that you tour. How many days a year would you say that you're performing live on stage?
Well, last year we did probably 200 plus dates all across America and Western Europe, and then me and Jessica will pick up little Paducah gigs, on Doe's Steakhouse, Eat Place here, play Kerchop's, So if we're home, we're usually playing in some sort of little get together or party or just like a little weekend gig. So if you add up all those little miniature gigs, it might be approaching 250, but that's what we do for a living. It's how we make our living, and haven't had a day job in like 12 years. So like every little bit helps, it's a full-time job.
Now, how does playing in front of your hometown crowd in Paducah differ from touring across the country and the world? Mm-hmm. You've got to have a little more juice in you playing in front of that Paducah crowd.
Yeah, it depends. A lot of the little gigs that we have are intimate, and you know, and people are eating. You know, it's like part of the culture here is like going out to eat and hearing a band kind of in the background. So it's not like a full concert. The Lower Town gig will be like a proper concert, you know, with a full band, and so that is more akin to what we do on the road, and so and the audiences are excited here, if not more, you know, because they really come out, and they, you know, I get a sense that they're proud of, you know, that what we're doing, you know, hopefully so. But yeah, it's I think that Paducah stands right up there with all the other towns out on the road, these music markets that we play. I would like to see Paducah turn into like a proper stopping point for bands, you know, on their way to South by Southwest, or just have a good venue here that like Nashville has, or Memphis, or St. Louis. You know, we should be right up there with them.
Well, since you're so interested in multimedia entertainment, what with the Seven Signs film, and you've also done some work with the Danish Theatrical Theater doing FUBAR, do you find that the Lower Town Arts and Music Festival is important, not just because of the music and art, but what it represents as far as the Four Rivers region hosting a festival of merit and of substance? Is this important to you to be a part of this?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's just great how there's like a little renaissance going down down here. And, it, you know, I hope that it can just grow and grow and, like I said, really become like a spot on the map that becomes a destination for bands and for theater groups. We're trying to get the Danish play that we were in, the Shack Shakers were in, to come to Paducah and maybe do an American tour, you know, showcase off that, you know, all the different things that I've kind of been dabbling in, you know, bring it to Paducah and have it, you know, have Paducah represent, you know, all that's going on, you know. So and it is doing that, and it's prime and ready for that kind of thing. Landy at Maiden Alley has really been helpful getting this scene defibrillated and get it going, you know. So yeah. And it's she's just kind of like the one in the trenches, you know, doing all the hard work. So like, hats off to her too.
Let's talk about Kitchen Tapes for a moment. It's a 7-inch vinyl of 14 different banjo tunes. Is it just you and your banjo?
It's me in the kitchen playing banjo, and it's about as raw as it gets. You know, rather than doing a slick bluegrass thing, I'm not a bluegrass player. I'm nowhere near that good. But I'm a fan of all the old Alan Lomax field recordings, and you know, and I just wanted to field record myself. You know, I'm learning these tunes. I feel like it kind of makes me want to play better and get better if I try to put that out in the world. You know, I feel like I need to rise to the occasion. So it's a way of like turning the heat up on myself to try to get better at the banjo. And what I did was I just took I went to, you know, Walgreens and bought a little tape recorder and took it into the kitchen and just recorded me going through, you know, the classic old time tunes like Leather Breeches and Red Wing and, you know, I'm trying to think of some other ones, just those old tunes, Liza Jane, you know, those classic old folk tunes, and put it out on vinyl. It makes it even more lo-fi, but that's the vibe. I think that's in keeping with the real spirit of folk music, is not having to be so slick and overproduced, you know, put it out on vinyl, record it with a on tape, and just let it go.
Well, let's ask about the book you're writing on Kentucky barn dances. I've got to say that I don't know if I've ever known of a book on Kentucky barn dances before. What was the origin of this idea?
Well, it's I write in the foreword of the book how when you go and play all these like shows, you know, and you're dealing with promoters, and you got to drive everywhere, and you load your gear in, and it's all about making money and trying to make a living, and it kind of takes away from the spirit of music. I started going to some of these little jamborees and things around Western Kentucky. They've got one over in Marshall County, or a couple, you know, they got the Kentucky Opry and Earl's over there in Olive, and you know, it's just old timers getting together and picking, and some young folks show up too, and but they're doing it for the quote-unquote right reasons. They're getting together and playing music for the joy of it, and there's not this sense of that of having to make money or mixing commerce in with art, and there's something refreshing about that. So I started doing a little more research on more of those events and what the history of them were. You know, they all kind of came out of the Grand Ole Opry radio show tradition, you know, Louisiana Hayride. It seems like every radio station and back in the 30s and 40s and 50s had like a live music barn dance that they would broadcast, and it would be the local musicians showing up and playing, and it was just for entertainment. People, that was the taste of the times, you know, dictated that format. So, but it has continued on, and it's in the underground, of course. You know, it's not mainstream. Country music has gone way off the deep end on top 40 country radio, but it still survives in the little, you know, tucked away general stores and little, you know, it could be anywhere from like a gazebo or someone's living room. You know, you never know where these little get-togethers are going to happen, and it's just a refreshing experience to go and be a part of that and hear people playing music for the right reasons.
And finally, and very interestingly, let's talk about Grim Hymns Volume 2. When did your interest in graphic novel art begin?
Well, I guess there weren't graphic novels when I was a kid.
They were just comic books.
Yeah, they were just comic books. And I was always into, like, Cracked Magazine, Mad Magazine, Far Side, Bloom County. I loved comics. I loved satire and sarcasm. I liked I liked it when the art was really well done, and so I wasn't into the Superman or the Batman stuff. I liked the kind of smart alecky stuff like R. Crumb did. You know, I liked his drawing style. I liked it, and the whole underground comics movement of the '60s and '70s. You know, that kind of rubbed off on me when I got older and discovered all that stuff. So. I'd say, oh, you can do cartoons about, you can draw comics about, like, interesting subjects other than, you know, these teenage fantasy superheroes, you know, which is cool, and I like all that, but it just didn't go as deep as I thought it could, you know, and so I just got into writing stories about the folklore of Western Kentucky and illustrating it, you know, in a way that, you know, kind of matched the feeling it gave, you know, like using cross hatching and charcoal and all the, you know, the kind of stuff I learned at Murray. Actually, I learned from Dale Lays how to draw, and I just thought it would be a nice way to kind of reflect back on the culture I grew up with, you know, to do these books.
And is Grim Hymns Volume 2 out already to purchase?
Yes, it is, and that's all available on my website, you know, jdwilkes.com. I hate doing that, but, you know, that's where it's at, you know.
And I did ask.
That's right.
And finally, you're a Kentucky colonel, and a lot of people, when they're named Kentucky colonel, it seems to me that it's just an excuse to hang something on their wall. But I sense that you actually take your role as a Kentucky colonel very seriously, and you always try to educate, I think, about the music and traditions of Kentucky.
Yeah, I try to do that. In fact, that's how I got it. Actually, it was Bob Lochte that who brought me in to record harmonica for a Stephen Foster thing that was on the public radio, and that was I think the criteria for which I was nominated to become a colonel. So I always connected that sort of traditional cultural thing with being a colonel. The whole point of it is to reflect back on the state of Kentucky in a way that makes it interesting and to an outsider who might not know. But I take it seriously just because it's part of the traditions that I'm in love with. You know, I love the area and the culture and the folklore and the stories and the music. I mean, it's, to me, it's what I'm all about, and I just want to carry that on and reflect on it hopefully in an honorable way.
J.D. Wilkes and his group, the Dirt Daubers, are headlining Friday evening at the Lowertown Arts and Music Festival in Paducah, and you can also hear them live here on WKMS as we'll be covering Friday's festivities. J.D., thanks so much for taking some time with us today on Sounds Good.
Thank you very much.